Right, welcome to part two of Dream Interpretation. We're going to review last week, because any good teacher will review what you've done already. I started off by saying that God was the only one who could interpret dreams. And we looked at a passage from Genesis 40 where Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" However, Joseph then went on to interpret the dream. So even though the interpretation belongs to God, God gives us the ability to interpret things. We looked at the Hebrew view of dreams, and the Hebrew view of dreams was that there's no real difference between the supernatural and the natural. God can just as easily speak through dreams as he can through angels, as he can through scripture. They're all part of the whole of life. They don't separate the non-spiritual and the spiritual like we do. You know, in the West we have, you have to take a leap of faith in order to get from the logical into believing. And the Hebrews' way of thinking doesn't have that. It's just in the West, and scientific thinking have brought that upon us. The reason that Scripture says that they're part of the whole of life is that it relates most dreams as coming from God from the outside to the person. And it's God speaking into that person. And again, the Western view of dreams, scientific view of dreams, Freudian interpretation is your ego, your id, your subconscious working out stuff, and that's why you dream. So scriptural dream interpretation is very different. And we looked at the two different types of dreams. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3, "As a dream comes when there are many cares, so is the speech of a fool when there are many words." And what that actually says is that if you've got lots of cares and you're not at peace when you go to bed, and there's a scripture, isn't it? "Don't let the sun go down on your anger." But I believe that the interpretation of that scripture is also, "Don't let the sun go down on you." I believe that's true of us. We, when we go to sleep, we should actually be at peace with God. And whatever you've done during the day, make peace with God about it, because then you'll have an undisturbed night and God can speak to you in your dreams. If you're not made peace with God, I think that's when the evil one can step in a little bit and influence you. Just my thoughts on the subject, but I believe you can validate that through scripture. So I tend to be cautious about dreams I receive. When I've got lots of cares and I've not put my mind to peace, made my peace with God, my sleep's not sound, and you know, that can be when my own thoughts can influence my dreams, but also I'm open to other influences. Job 33 tells of the other type of dream, and Job 33:15-16, "In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, when they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of man," and that's just talking about God opening the ears of men, "and seals their instruction, that he may turn aside from his conduct and keep man from pride." So if you're soundly at sleep, you've made peace with God, it's pretty much a done thing that the dream is coming from God. Steps to dream interpretation. We looked at this, who or what is it about? And I said there was an observing dream. When you're looking in on the dream, you're not taking part, you're just a spectator, and the dream plays out in front of you. You don't play a part in it. And I believe that's more of a prayer dream. What that's given to you for is to pray into a situation, into a person's life. And I mentioned some dreams that I'd had about leaders and how God has really helped me to pray into a person's life. And those dreams turned out to be some of the struggles that person was going through at that time. And how if you spill those dreams out to other people, and, "Oh, you never guess what such and such is up to. I just had this dream and they were doing this and they were doing that." And that's not being a steward of your dreams. I really believe that. And so I warned against that. And then we talked about a dream. Intercessors, by the way, they always have a lot of observation dreams. If you're an intercessor and you pray for people, you'll have stacks of these. Participating as a minor character, this is when you're a part of a dream, but you're not the major player. You're just playing your bit part. And again, I believe God gives us these dreams in order to prepare us for that situation. And if we pray into these dreams, when these situations arrive, we can put our bit part in, and it can influence people's lives. They can be Christians, non-Christians, And it's wonderful. So that's participating as a minor character. Then when you're the big player in the dream, you know, you're the film star, you know, you've got the big part. And that dream's all about you. That's about your life, about your situation, and God's speaking to you about that. Then we looked at context, the way we look at things, and this is so important. And we looked at a couple of media images. So we looked at these two slides. Here you go. We looked at that slide, and I said, what was it? So there's a foot there. Maybe a foot. I mean, I turned it around, so the perspective was changed, and we were looking at it from the correct perspective. And can you see the difference? You now know what it's all about. If we look at a dream from the wrong context, the wrong perspective, what will happen is that we'll get the wrong impression of what it is. And we might not understand it. I mean, you understand that picture now, don't you? You can see it's a drawing on the pavement, the sidewalk. It's an illusion of a girl in a red swimming costume in a swimming pool. Fantastic piece of art by a London pavement artist. So we looked at that. Then we looked at the parables. Dreams are called parables of the night. We asked the question, did Jesus interpret dreams? Because he's the important guy in the scripture, isn't he? If he did it, then we can do it as well, can't we? That's the example we can follow. Well, he didn't interpret dreams as far as we know. I mean, in John it says that he did so many other things that even the world couldn't contain the books. So he might have interpreted people's dreams. You never know. He might have sat down with Mary or Martha and, oh, I had a dream the other night, Jesus. Oh, that dream means this. It's God speaking to you. I mean, he could have. We don't know. But he did interpret parables, and we looked at three parables using seeds. First was the parable of the mustard seed. You know, where the seed, smallest seed, largest tree. The interpretation of that is that the smallest seed can grow into the largest plant. Jesus applied it to faith. It's important that if you get that right, that parable works. The next parable was the tares amongst the wheat. And in this parable, the seed represented people. And the good seeds are people who are for God and his kingdom. The bad seeds are for people who are for the devil and his kingdom. If you get the interpretation of seed in the first dream, and you think, smallest makes biggest. Ah, so small bad people make biggest bad people, or small good people make... Hang on, this doesn't work. Because you're using the context of the previous parable where seed means a certain thing, if you then say, right, seed always means this, doesn't it? No, it doesn't always mean that. And we looked at the parable of the sower. And the interpretation of the parable of the sower is that the seed represents the word of the kingdom. Hear then the parable of the sower. This is Jesus speaking. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away, etc., etc. So again here, seed doesn't mean smallest, biggest. It doesn't mean people. It means what? Oh, the context. We've got to look at the context. So you can't use symbols in the same way. Even when God speaks to you and gives you something in a dream, it doesn't necessarily mean the same in the next dream. So be careful. Okay, so don't take a symbol as granted for its meaning. That's what I'm saying. Always look at the wider context. And we're going to continue with the context. And we're going to look at the tone of the dream. Because when you have a dream, they actually have a tone to them. Some dreams are really colourful, very vivid. Other dreams can be quite dark and black and white. Do you know what I mean by that? People have had light dreams, people have had darker dreams. And who's colourful in the Bible? God is. God is the God of the rainbow, and the evil one, dark, the God of the underground. You know, God is generally the God full of colour and full of life in dreams, and the evil one is full of darkness and bad things in dreams. So black and white or muted colours will be more about the enemy or the enemy's plans. Okay? And sometimes God will give us a dream about the enemy's plans. what he's trying to do in our lives. I've had some of those warning dreams. It's quite important that you look at the tone, the context. Then we're going to look at anchors in dreams. Anchors are things which pin things down. So what you're going to look at, is there an anchor from the life of the person in the dream? Because an anchor in a dream will help tell you what it's about. First anchor we'll look at is, who is in it with you? No one in it with you? That's about your life. People from work? It's probably about your work. Or meeting somebody outside who's from your work. People from church? It's about church. It's pretty simple stuff, but it's important stuff. Because if we actually know that, then we can actually tell what the actual anchor of the dream is. And where does it take place? If it's in a house, it could be your childhood home. So that could be an issue from childhood coming up. I've had dreams where I've known it's my father's house, but it was never a house that I lived in with my dad or my dad's ever lived in. And what that was about church. My father's house is the church. Okay, my dad never appeared in the dream, but I knew it was my father's house. Do you know what I mean by that? So it can be about your life, about your family, about your ministry, or church base. And if it's about your childhood, as I say, you can have a dream where you're a child again and go through certain things with friends from your childhood. And again, it might be God taking you back to childhood issues that you need to deal with. God's clever like that. He really is. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play you a song, and we're going to try and work out, if a person had this dream, what would it be about? Okay, let's just imagine you had this dream about this person, and you saw this person like this. What is it all about?
Earth, stream and tree, encircled by sea, waves sweep the sand from my island. My sunsets fade, field and glade, wait only for rain, rain after grain, lovely rose wine. High weathered walls, which fend off the tide, cradle the wind to my island. Gaunt granite climbs, where gulls wheel and glide, mournfully cry o'er my island. My dawn bride's veil, damp and pale, dissolves in the sun, love's web.
Okay, so you had this dream about this person that you know, and this was part of the dream. What would you interpret as being? What was that song all about? Okay, so the tone of it was very sad. Lots of minor chords. So that sets the context for the dream. So it's a sad dream. Okay. The title of the dream, Islands. What was it describing? Gaunt granite climbs. Cliffs. Islands. So what's happening in that person's life? They're alone. They're becoming isolated. I mean, if that appeared as a dream, and that person, you saw this person in this situation on this island, they're isolating themselves. Something's happening to them that's... Well, what would you do about it? Yeah, you'd go up to them, ask them out for a coffee. You feeling all right? Can I pray for you? And it all might come spilling out. I've just felt so lonely recently. Are you? This has happened to me with dreams like this.
Just to give a personal illustration, my father had a dream It's when I was 16. Should I just hold this? I was 16, 17 years old, and I was going through personal challenges in my own life, my walk with God, and I was making decisions. My mom and dad didn't know I was making decisions, but I was making decisions as to whether was Christianity really what I wanted to go after. I had been hurt, not in church, but I was starting to build walls, and God gave my dad a dream of me building a wall with bricks, and I was building this wall higher and higher, and I was building it around myself. I was fortifying myself in these bricks. Right, I was protecting myself, but I was starting to, like Dave said, I was isolating myself, and my dad recognized that this was a word for me, and so he came. We sat down, and he called me into the living room, and he just shared that this is what God gave me, and it exposed what was going on in my heart, even though they didn't know it, and I wasn't acting anything different, but inside I was making decisions to become, I was pulling away from God, I was pulling away from relationships, and I was starting just to pursue my own isolated thing. In my own heart, I was doing it, but it was through a dream in this context that is, it was just me laying bricks around myself, but it was the context of I was isolating myself, and there was a reason for it. And God gave, that word exposed my heart.
Fantastic. I couldn't have asked for a better illustration. That song goes perfectly with that. And Tyler's dad recognized that dream as being important. That's what we need to do more and more. God speaks to us so vividly through our dreams.
That was a turning point of my life. I know that if it was a moment of salvation or a moment of me actually really giving my life to Christ, that was the time that it was such a critical dream. My dad had not spoken at that moment, I would have started going down a journey that, I would have been on a slippery path. And because of that, God saved me. But it was such an important dream for him to relay to me, but not only did he share the dream, but he shared the interpretation of the dream, which was, very much like what the song was saying. You're isolating. The God is saying that you're building walls up in your heart and, all these things. And it was like an exposure. And that just changed my life. It was just like, boom, okay, God, you got my number. You're speaking to me.
Fantastic. Okay. All right. So a good example of someone misunderstanding context was when a friend of mine approached me with a dream he was struggling to interpret. I've got friends who come to me and ask me to interpret dreams for them. I've had people email me from America asking me to interpret dreams. I've had all sorts of things. And it was someone in another church. In the dream, there was a mouse which was quietly showing the person things around the church and how he could help by praying for healing, etc. But my friend looked up the meaning of a mouse in a dream interpretation book. This can be fatal. And the book listed a mouse as being a negative destructive force, something which brings a plague, and that's from 1 Samuel 6:4, when the Philistines and the gnaws through things, because that's what mice do. Destructive, destroying food, destroying crops, because mice do all those things. He became quite fixed upon this interpretation and this symbolic reasoning, and was convinced the meaning behind the mouse in the dream was a negative one. And because of that, he didn't really make sense of the dream and thought, oh my goodness, no, you don't go that way, because I prayed about the dream, and God brought to my mind the saying, as quiet as a church mouse. Has anyone heard that saying? As quiet as a church mouse. It seemed to fit with the way the mouse was behaving in the dream, because the mouse wasn't misbehaving. He was showing the friend around the church and showing him how to help in areas. I related that back to him, and he related it back to the person who had the dream, and the penny dropped, because a lot of the people in the church who were struggling to get power in the church were behaving in totally the opposite way that the mouse was behaving. They were being loud and boisterous and being very demonstrative, whereas this mouse was just going about things quietly, and God was getting the glory for the things that were happening. So this dream was addressing that issue in that church. As I say, when my friend related that back to that guy, the guy went, oh, of course, that's what it's all about. Subsequent to that, there's been problems in the church based on that. I'm not going to go into any details of the church or whatever, but it's worked out that those things in the dream were really important, because the people who were behaving in a self-exalted fashion then ended up, as I say, I'm not going to go into details, but there was a church split and all sorts of stuff. And this was a warning about it. Right, I'm going to ask you a question. The question here is, who, as an artist, does this remind you of, this chair? So the artist? Vincent van Gogh.
Wow.
Fantastic. It's one of his famous paintings of a chair. Yeah, the boots, the pipe, the chair, they're all part of the painting. Vincent van Gogh. It's not a painting, but that is one of Van Gogh's paintings. Do you see what I mean? This is what context is all about. Context in a dream is when all of a sudden it'll go, oh, that's what it's about. Of course, and the penny drops. It clicks into position in your brain and you go, oh, of course it is. How stupid of me not to realize it. So we're going to look at step three. We've only got one more step to go after this. So we're looking at step three now, repeated themes and common dreams. Okay, repeated themes throughout a dream are very, very important. Sometimes you will have a dream and things will happen again and again and again, 2, 3, 4 times in the same dream, or you can have a series of dreams where the same thing happens again. What happens is that you have a dream, it's about a certain type of thing, and then the next night you have another dream, it's about the same type of thing, and then you have a third dream, etc., etc. Quite often in a dream, things are repeated in a different way in order to emphasize them. So if God does this to you, he really wants to get your attention, okay? God really wants you to take note and take care of what he's emphasizing, because it's going to be important for you soon. And it was Joseph who said to Pharaoh, God has repeated this dream twice because it's going to come to pass soon. So if God repeats something, it could happen soon, but it's going to be important for you soon. And when I say it could be important soon, in the case of Joseph, he had 2 dreams about his brothers bowing down and then mother and father bowing down. How long did it take for that to happen? 20-odd years. Okay, he was a teenager when he had the dreams. He was in his 30s. He'd had 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine. He'd worked his way up through Pharaoh's house. He'd worked his way up through Potiphar's house. 20-odd years later. Dreams can have a very long lifespan. That's what I'm trying to say. And I've had dreams 5, 10 years ago that are just happening now. The things are coming to pass in my life now. And I keep dream journals. In fact, I spoke to you about a dream I had about 15 years ago recently, and how God was bringing that back up again. So it's really important that we do take note of dreams and keep a record of them. Repeated dreams and common dreams. Let's go on to the common dreams. One of the things I'm going to say, which is quite important, is do not go by your feelings in a dream. Let's say you have a dream that you or your friend is dying and they're in a coffin and being buried, and it's so real that you wake up and you go, oh, no, that can't happen, God. The feelings that will invoke are, oh my goodness, no, that can't be right. But what could that dream about dying be? What does Scripture speak about dying? Dying to self. So if you've got a dream about a friend dying, what could that mean?
To the Lord, or going deeper in their walk with God, or
They're coming to the Lord, going deeper in their walk with God. It could be a good thing. And you might wake up from that dream in sweats, going, ah, no, I don't want them to die. I love them too much. So don't necessarily go by what your feelings are in a dream. Sometimes in a dream, you can have faceless people. What do you think that means if you've got somebody who hasn't got a face? Who's the faceless person in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. So a faceless person in Scripture is more often than not the Holy Spirit or an angel. Or, if it's a dark dream, the faceless people in a dark dream would be demons or principalities, powers. Okay, so that sort of influence on us. So I'm going to play another song for you, and I want to know if you had this dream, what would it represent? What would be happening to you or another person? So that was a dream. What does that one mean? It's a funky dream, yeah? Absolutely, funky dream. You had that as a dream. How would you interpret that as a dream? Okay, so time is slipping into the future. So life is wasting away, isn't it? Yeah, you're going nowhere. Then what happens? So what are you doing when you fly? You're lifted by God, aren't you? Above your circumstances. After he's been lifted by God above his circumstances, what happens? He starts feeding the children. He starts ministering. Wonderful dream. And that could all happen in a dream and be played out like that. And when you're flying, it means you're rising above something. So in a dream, if you start flying, you're rising above something. And you're being taken up to a different point of view. What about if in a dream, you were flying and you were flapping your arms a lot and not getting anywhere? You're using your effort. Okay, so if you're in a dream, what that means is you're trying to rise above your circumstances using your own effort. I'm going to ask you to interpret another picture. Okay, what's it a picture of? this picture of a white dove. What does a white dove represent in Scripture? The Holy Spirit. And what's it got? What's it got? It's got flames. When did you have flames with the Holy Spirit? On the day of Pentecost. Tongues of fire came down. If you saw this happening, let's just say there was somebody underneath that you knew, what would be happening in this dream? Filled with the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit being given to them. Possibly speaking in tongues. But not always speaking in tongues. Jesus came to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. That's what it says in one of the Gospels. I would say if you saw this happening and you knew that person wasn't filled with the Spirit, I would pray for that person. That's the first thing I'd do. Because God's announcing what he's planning to do. So this is God's plans for that person. Holy Spirit coming on them. Start praying for the gifts of the Spirit to come to them. If you get a chance, ask them a few questions. Asking questions is a wonderful way. Jesus did this in John 4. He asked questions of the woman at the well. And he discovered whether she was open or not. So if I had this dream about somebody of the Holy Spirit with a flame behind it coming down on them, I would start asking them questions. I'd pray for them and I'd say, you ever been interested in things of the Holy Spirit? And they might go, you never believe it, but I've been praying for that for the last couple of weeks because I've read it in Scripture and I don't know what it means. Can you tell me what it means? And all of a sudden, you've got the opportunity which the dream is opening up to. Another common dream. Let's say you're going to the toilet or you're having a shower. What do you think that would be? You clean yourself, so it could be that God is cleansing you. Or if you see somebody having a shower, or you know somebody's having a shower, because you can see their bathroom or whatever, it could be that there are problems that they've got in their lives that need cleansing. Yeah? Well, what about this one? So imagine you have a dream where you're having a baby. What's that all about? No, men have had dreams of having a baby. I've had a dream of having a baby. God's birthing something in you. You're pregnant with something in God. Okay, so God wants to give you a new gift or a new ministry. What about if you had a dream of a crying baby? You've got a problem with your new ministry. Or somebody's got a problem with their new ministry. Let's just say, for instance, somebody starts off leading worship in church, and you, a couple of weeks into it, have a dream of that they're nursing a crying baby. Oh, God, what does that mean? Oh, they're struggling a bit with worship leading. Let's pray for them. Let's get alongside them. Do you see what I'm trying to get at? What about this one? And we covered this a bit last time. How about if you were in bed with somebody or you're kissing somebody? And what's that all about? What? You want to be closer to somebody. Yeah, more intimate with somebody. Okay? It could be that they're suffering, but I would say in that case that it's a longing for intimacy, or they want to be closer to you. They want a friend. So it might be God saying to you, again, get alongside that person. Okay. How about this one? If you're walking around naked, or you've been discovered and you're naked in a public place, I mean, what's all that about?
Exposure.
Somebody is naked in a public place. You see somebody in a dream and they're naked in a public place. That's all about exposure, isn't it? Because when you're naked, you're open and you're transparent and you've got nothing to hide when you're naked. That might be the case in that situation where that's going to happen to that person, or they're going to be open and transparent with you, and you have to be prepared for it and not to be shocked if they say anything to you about something they're struggling with. God preparing you again. How about this one? You're trying to run fast, but you can't. You're stuck on the spot and you can't run, or you're trying to speak, but you can't. You just... and you just can't get the words out. What's that dream all about? What about somebody trying to hold you back? Who tries to hold people back? The enemy. So, if I had a dream about Tim, and he was trying to run, and he couldn't get anywhere, the enemy's got to him. The enemy's holding him back. Or Tyler. I had a dream about Tyler, and Tyler is just going, the enemy's trying to hold back a message that Tyler's got from God. So I should be praying for Tyler. Lord, release that message in Tyler. He's probably not sure about it, but release it in him. Just give him the words to speak. Let's talk about weapons. This is quite interesting, isn't it? These are all common dreams that people have. So I'm in a dream. Someone's in that top window over there firing a gun at me. What's that all about? Okay, and what would a gun represent? An accusation, a power, an authority to reach beyond themselves. Okay, so if you've got a gun in a dream, it's an authority to reach beyond yourself. Any weapon is power to reach beyond your own self. So if you're being fired at with a bow and arrow, if you're being fired at with a gun, somebody is trying to assert authority over you, probably the enemy. Yeah, fiery darts of the enemy. And it can be good or bad depending on what's happening in the dream, because it can be a disciplined dream. It can be somebody disciplining you, and you might not enjoy that. So again, you've got to pick up the context. And what about using phones? Let's just say you're using a phone in the dream. What's that all about? Communication with someone.
Yeah.
Okay. Often prayer. I mean, I once had a dream. It was a wonderful dream, and I spent ages trying to work this out until I actually figured it out. I was trying to use a phone in this dream to get through to somebody, and I couldn't. And then Kate, the worship leader at my old church, came up to me, and she went, press the numbers on the phone, and I got through immediately. What's that all about? Someone helps me. Who helped me? The worship leader. So what did I do? When I figured the dream out, I started worshipping God for that person that I was trying to get through to, prayed for them in an atmosphere of worship, and lo and behold, their situation changed. If you had a dream, and in the dream you were falling, what would that mean in Scripture? So you're falling from something. What do you fall from? You fall from grace. So if you're in a situation where you're falling, what it means is you're coming out of God's grace in a situation, and you're not relying on God, you're not trusting in God for something, and you're slipping down. Yeah, there is a way you can stop that. I believe with every dream like that, you can take authority over it after the dream. And it's really important to do that. If you have a dream where you're falling, once you wake up, you can think about your life and say, right, God, is there anything that's happening in my life? Is there any way that that's actually happening? And if there is some way that that's happening, if you are falling, if you're making mistakes in your life, what you can do is you can correct that. And you've got the authority to do that. You can repent and you can say, oh, God, that means this in my life. I'm so sorry. Please deliver me from this. Because I am falling out of your reach by doing this, God. And quite often falling dreams will be about something like that. I'm going to give you another dream in a picture form.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. One of the first dreams I ever remember having was when I was about 17. I just started work in a bank, and a woman who I drove to work with, and she drove a rally car. She was an absolutely fantastic driver, but she drove everywhere much too quickly. I wasn't a Christian, and I had the most vivid dream one night. I woke up in a sweat because in the dream, we came round a corner, and this corner was on the way to work. I always went this route with her, and I saw this flash of red, and we crashed into it and had a really serious accident. And it scared me witless, and I thought, oh my goodness, what was that all about? And I told my friend about it the next morning. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't believe in God. And I said, it happened just around the corner where we're coming up to now. I said, can you slow down? Because I'm a bit scared. And she sort of looked at me. You know that look you get when somebody goes, oh, okay. So she took her foot off the gas. She covered the brake. And as we came around the corner, literally about 5-10 yards around the corner was a blind opening. People didn't actually come out of there very often because it wasn't a main road. It was just out of somebody's house. And there was this post office van, looked straight through us and just pulled out. My friend hit the brakes. We came to the quickest halt I've ever seen. That this car had brilliant brakes. And we literally stopped about an inch away from this post office van. And he saw us, slammed his brakes on, saw us too late. And my friend looked at me and I looked at my friend. We could hardly speak to each other because she was scared stiff. I was scared stiff. I realized now it was God warning me. God was saving my life because I was in the passenger seat. I would have been the one that was smashed up because of where the post office van stopped. Right, let's get on to the next picture. So, we've got a picture here. Can anybody interpret this picture for me? It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so it's a dove pointing at the bell. Holy Spirit wants the bell to ring. Okay, so when do we ring bells traditionally? We ring bells for church on Sunday. We ring bells for weddings and funerals. Bells were always rung as warnings. Bells are rung for celebrations. So this could be part of a dream. And again, that bell is either a warning or a celebration or something, isn't it? And what's God telling the person who sees this?
Something's about to happen.
Yeah, but what are we supposed to do? Are we to keep it quiet? Sound the bell! Sound the bell! Don't keep this quiet in the dream. Ring it out! Ring out those solstice bells or whatever the hymn is. We're to tell it, aren't we? So if this was part of a dream, that could be the meaning, a proclamation of something that's either a warning or a celebration that's happening. Okay, this next slide is part of a dream. Everybody gather around so you can see it. Okay, what's it a picture of? Richard's garage. Okay. Old petrol pumps. Do you reckon you could get any petrol out of those? Okay, so you couldn't get any petrol out of those. What can petrol be a symbol of?
Fuel.
Okay, what fuels us? The Holy Spirit. So, if you had this dream about a church or about an organization, what would you think?
You can't park there, you can't fill up.
There's no fuel in it. So, there's a problem, isn't there? The Holy Spirit is being stopped. Okay, let's have a look at the next one. If you saw this character in a dream, what would it mean? Would you trust this character?
No.
What's he trying to do? Vortex mind medicine. Would you trust that? So what's he trying to do? So he's probably a false prophet or somebody demonic. Yeah, it looks like a joker on a card. So he's not the sort of guy that you trust, is he?
That kind of dream, but the joker would be you. What would that mean?
Okay, if that joker was me, I would be very, very careful about anything that I was about to bring to church. Okay, because I'm prophetic, and I know a prophet can actually bring things out of their own prejudice. And if you've got your own hot opinions on a subject, what can happen is instead of receiving from God, you're actually giving your own opinions, prejudices in a prophetic way. And it's one of the things that I'm very, very careful of. I have got strong opinions on certain subjects and I will not bring that subject into church. in a prophecy, because I'll know that in all likelihood it's my opinion, not the voice of God, that's coming through. And if I had this dream and I was dressed like this as Vortex Mind Medicine, I would know that what I thought was of God brewing in my spirit is not actually of God, it's me, and I'm being a false prophet. Right, final song. Okay, there's quite a long intro to this song, and I want you to pick up on the mood of this song as much as everything else. And everything in a dream has a feeling to it, and quite often songs are good representations of dreams because of just the feeling, the mood and the melody of everything. So if you were in this sort of state, what would you be feeling, and what would you think this is all about? What's that dream all about? What type of dream is it? There's somebody on her mind. You are on my mind at all times. So she's maybe trying to get through to somebody. That person's on her mind. Yeah? Is she having a good night? She's not, is she? The dawn is breaking. You are on my mind. She's been up all night worried. She can't communicate with the person. She's thinking about the person. She's worried about that person. If you had a friend and you saw this friend like this in a dream, what would you do? Pray for the person and say, this may sound strange, but is someone troubling you at the moment? Are you thinking about somebody or something? This may sound strange, but I feel God's been saying that to me about you. And she'll go, oh, I don't believe this. I've been up all night. I can't sleep. Oh, it's my brother and he's doing this. Yeah? Do you see how God could be speaking in that dream to you about somebody or something? Yeah? How about we try and do one dream interpretation tonight using these steps, and you guys are going to do it. Who's got a dream they want to share? Can I have a short dream?
It's a short dream.
Karen, what you're going to do is you're going to tell us the dream in full. Keep it short.
Basically, it was like every night I had different dream, but every time when my dream ended, it went all black and all different dogs came up and they started to bark like, and all the talk did one park and all different kinds of talks, like parking, very angry parking. And every time when it came to Bernhardine dog, I woke up, like very angry parking thing. And it happened almost every night, at least two years.
Okay, can I ask you some questions about the dream? So you had the same type of dream every night for 2 years, and the dream involved you doing things, but it was always ended with dogs barking.
I don't remember the dreams. I always ended every dream I had, or if I had, before waking up, I had dogs barking.
Okay, so you don't remember the dreams that you had, but every dream that you had ended with dogs barking angrily, and there was one particular dog?
And every time when it came to
Beethoven, what's the type?
Saint Bernard.
Bernard, yeah.
A Saint Bernard dog.
Yeah.
Okay, so a Saint Bernard dog. What does a Saint Bernard dog represent to you?
In that time, I've never seen it. Like, at that time when I saw these dreams, I've never seen that dog before because I live that countryside. I saw it only in TV and stuff. So it was like a good dog for me, like on TVs, because it was so big and cute. But in the dreams, it was very angry.
Okay, so on TV, they were big and cute.
Yeah.
In reality, they were angry dogs. Okay. So let's do the steps. Who or what is it about? It's Karen. So the dream's all about Karen in the dream. This isn't a brilliant dream because there's so many of them. And so we can get to the gist of this dream though quite quickly. Karen, when you were in the dreams, were you observing, were you participating as a minor character, or were you the main character in the dreams? So you were lying down in the bed,
yes.
And the dogs were barking in your face. Okay.
I understood that I'm lying in my face.
So the dream is all about you. The context of the dream. Let's get the context right. It doesn't matter what dream you've had, you always had a barking dog at the end.
Yes.
So what does a barking dog represent?
Anger.
Could be anger.
What was going on in your life?
Hang on, You're jumping ahead of the game. Okay, the context. Let's talk about the dream, not her life, because I think this is important that we establish the dream first. Because when we establish the context of the dream properly, then we can look at the application. There's a difference between interpretation and application. That's very important, though.
So context.
Context of the dream. The dogs are angry. Okay. Okay, you were always afraid in the dream. So it was the context of the dream is you're fearful and the dogs are angry and they're out to get you. In the dreams, did the dogs ever bite you? So they never bit you, but they always bark. Do you have this saying, their bark is worse than their bite?
Yeah, we have the saying.
You have that saying. It means the same sort of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You
have a big bark, but you don't have a bite.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So that could be part of the context of the dream. Let's look at the anchors. Is there any anchors in any of the dreams you had that would anchor it to part of your life? Were you going through anything in the dreams, or were you going through any situations in the dreams that could link with part of your life and what you were going through? Lying at the bed looking at the dogs. So you're in a place of vulnerability. You can't run when you're lying in bed. The dog is over the top of you, bearing down on you. So you cannot escape. So that's the anchor in the dream. So you're very vulnerable in this dream. Okay? So where does it take place? Always in your bed. Your bed should be a safe place of safety, but it wasn't. So that's the context of it. So you were fearful, you were vulnerable in a safe place of safety, but you weren't safe. However, Their bark was worse than their bite. Even though they barked, they couldn't harm you. They could just make you fearful. It sounds like you might have been running away from something or someone. Well, we can't go into that. That's not a part of the dream. So, repeated... that's, again, that's application. Okay. Repeated themes. So the repeated theme is the barking dog. Is it a common dream? I would say this probably is a common dream, because it's a dream of fear. Is it a good or bad dream? Is it God or is it darkness? A good dream from God or is it a bad dream from the evil one? Is it a dream from God? Could be a warning dream from God. It doesn't feel like that from you, though. You're going, no, it's not. So, is it a dark dream? The background was white. Okay. Now, can I ask you a question? Were you a Christian at this time? It was before you became a Christian. Just before you became a Christian. Okay. So, there's a... behind the dogs is a place of white. You didn't tell me this earlier, but this brings context to it. So, behind the dogs is a place of white. What does a place of white represent? What does a place of white represent? Heaven. The white light of heaven. The glory of heaven. So, could this, because this was a dream before you became a Christian, have been a dream about evil trying to prevent you from becoming a Christian? And its bark was worse than its bite, because it didn't actually prevent you from being a Christian, but it made you fearful of the supernatural. So this could have been a dream that the evil one was trying to get you to be fearful of the supernatural and keep you away from God. Does that make sense of the dream to you, Karen?
Yes, it makes sense now.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.